Vinny is probably one of the last long timers, like super long timers at KC Pet Project.
I'm Phil Hatterman, and you're listening to a very special Dog Words presented by Rosie Fund. Today, I'm joined by my wife, Dawn Hatterman, for a two-part discussion. First, we talk about our foster, Vinny. Then, we explore one of the biggest challenges facing animal shelters right now. If you're new to Dog Words, in each episode, we explore the world of dog care and companionship. We save each other is the motto of Rosie Fund, which simply means the more we do for dogs, the more they do for us, and they already do a lot. If you are a regular listener, you already know you can support Rosie Fund by making a donation on our website or Facebook page, or by making a purchase at the store on our website, rosiefund.org. That's rosiefund.org. You also know how grateful we are to alternative string duo, The Wires, for supplying the music you hear on Dog Words. Use the links in the description to learn more about them. Now, let's get on with a very special edition of Dog Words. Today on Dog Words, we have two guests, one that I'm counting on to be more vocal than the other. Welcome to Dog Words, Dawn Hatterman.
Well, good evening, Phil.
And the other guest is Vinny, and that's not his official name. We'll get to his official name in a little bit, so stay tuned. We've talked about Vin a lot the last several months because we started fostering him in October of 2022.
That's great.
And we first met him a month or so earlier when we went to Diane's house, who was fostering him, to shoot some video. And if you hear squeaks in the background, that's Vin getting out a toy that we've never seen him play with before. He has a few favorites. And now he's decided he wants to get out the squeaky one, and he's going to go back for another toy. What's up with you, Vin? So we went to Diane's house to shoot some video to post at Rosie Fund, YouTube, and Instagram, as we do with so many other dogs looking for their forever home.
Yes. She had contacted us because we'd been in conversation about another dog that Rosie Fund was sponsoring, and she asked if we would be interested and willing to sponsor and do some video of Vinny, because she was concerned about him. He'd been in the shelter, well, for over a year. And then she finally took him just to get him out of that environment. And she had a great little shed that she had made into her doggy den for her visitors. And so he was living there.
And shed undersells.
Yes.
It was better than a couple of the apartments I had in college. It would have been an upgrade.
Yes.
But Diane is just great at KC Pet Project and was a volunteer and then became staff and is just...
She has a big heart.
Yeah. Just a foster rock star and just an animal welfare rock star. So thank you, Diane, for everything you've done, not only for Vinny, but so many other shelter animals. But she needed to find another foster for Vinny and reached out to us. And we said, well, we've met Vinny and he got along with us and he doesn't get along with everybody. So that's a good start. We'll take him. We only had him for what? Not even a month?
Yeah, a month.
Before wonderful Richard fell in love with Vinny from watching his videos and wanted to do a meet and greet. The meet and greet went fabulously. So Richard adopted Vinny, and we were so proud because previous to that, we had done a couple kind of dog day outs and weekend fosters and stuff, and then return those dogs to KC Pet Project or Sunflower. But the only real fostering we had done had been Rosie, for whom Rosie Fund is named, and then Peaches, who just the best ambassador you could ever hope for.
And she was a very short dog day out foster because it lasted two days.
Yeah, it was a weekend furlough that went so well that we thought, well, we'll just foster her until she gets adopted. But it was a full week. We made it a whole week.
Before we did?
Before we decided someone's going to take our dog. if we don't adopt her ourselves. So Vinny was with us for a couple weeks, and yay, we've placed Vinny. Richard has a really big heart and did something that, well, not everyone does. He recognized that what was best for Vinny was not the home that he had given him. Vinny was so stressed out, and Richard was willing to try whatever it took to help Vinny, which ultimately came down to surrendering Vinny back to the shelter, which we did not let Vinny go back to the shelter. We returned to fostering him and went and got him from Richard. And yes, Richard, your friend Richard. So Richard has stayed in touch and come to visit Vinny. He's a dear friend of Vinny.
I think he's maybe unofficially Vinny's dog father, or at least an uncle. Maybe he's Uncle Richard.
So that was last November that Vinny came back to us.
And
what are you doing?
And when we brought Vinny home as a foster,
being squirrely.
Yes. He is, when we've probably talked about this before, he is a very sensitive boy, very sensitive to noises. Of course, not all noises. We've learned that thunder and fireworks are no big deal.
Doesn't care.
But if the sprinkler system goes off for the first time at 1 o'clock in the morning, then it's 5 alarm. What's going on? So it was that behavior of being very sensitive to noises. He also has excellent eyesight. So when he sees turkey out in the backyard or deer,
well, not
2
even
yards
in the backyard,
or, well, yes,
in the field,
across the field.
I would hope anybody would notice the turkey in the backyard.
So he's, yes, so he's just very on high alert. Unfortunately, that behavior doesn't bode well in an apartment complex. So Vinny really likes the suburban life, the quiet suburban life of a quiet neighborhood like ours. So we were lucky enough to be able to take him back.
He was lucky. He didn't have to go back to the shelter. Yes. And we were lucky to get a dog that we really were fond of. We posted lots of videos.
Yes.
It was not a surprise to us that Richard fell in love with Vinny based on the videos. And I think we post a lot of nice videos. And there's only so many adopters. But I'm still surprised how amazing dogs will look. Vinny's doing laps around the table.
And I'm afraid that the cord is going to... that he's going to disconnect us from the recording devices here because he is leaping over cords around the table.
What's up, Vin?
Oh, my goodness.
We may take a break at some point to play with Vin. But his challenge was that he does not make a great first impression. He's great on video, but even the dogs who are great on video who also make a great first impression, who are great on the leash, stay in the shelter for so long.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But based on Richard identifying that this is a dog who's ready for his forever home, and then realizing, but it's not mine, had us thinking, well, the issue there was Richard just wasn't in the right building, but there's lots of other people who will see what Richard saw and give Vinny his forever home. We were contacted by maybe three people.
Yeah, three or four. And that was in...
over the next 6 months or so.
Yeah.
But since this spring, there's been nobody. And we've continued to post videos, share him on social media, Facebook, Instagram. And the contacts we had, when you respond to the person who says, I saw his video or I saw him on the KC Pet Project website, I would like to meet Vinny. What we and most fosters do is ask, why would you like to meet Vinny? And what is it about your home that you think would make it a fit? And this is not a screening in order to just keep the dog from getting adopted. this is to see, is it worth doing a meet and greet? We don't want to waste your time. We don't want to stress the dog out unnecessarily. So if it's a dog that can't be with children and you have three kids under the age of five, well, there's other dogs that would be appropriate. Or if you're in an apartment and we know Vinny should be in an apartment, we would know. So a couple of those, the responses indicated they hadn't even read his bio.
Right.
Because it was not a fit at all. And the other couple of inquiries, no response at all.
Right. And evidently that happens because we have a foster forum with KC Pet Project where fosters can share stories and ask questions. And I was like, asking about, is this...
Are we doing this wrong?
What am I doing wrong? And the response was, no, that happens. Some people, they get cold feet when they're like, oh, okay, wait a minute. This person really is going to talk to me about this dog. Well, maybe I'm not as interested as I thought.
Or is it like ordering Amazon at 2 a.m?
Yes. Yeah.
Like, and scrolling through, this dog looks awesome. I'm going to email an inquiry about...
Right.
And then in the harsh, cold light of day, you realize, well, that's not the dog for me.
And there were a few that we did have some good back and forth and that we agreed Vinny was not going to be the good fit for their home. But I was very willing to work with them to find the right dog for them.
Because once they share more about what would be a good fit, that makes it easier for the rescue group or the foster to say, wait, we have a dog that checks all those boxes?
Yes. And so we reach out to the other fosters and staff to get those inputs. All fosters, I think, are just hoping to connect with the right person or find another dog in the shelter that can connect with a person.
So while we may sound a little disappointed that people either reached out and got cold feet or reached out for the wrong dog, I don't want to discourage anyone from doing that.
No.
Reach out and don't think, oh, I got to find the perfect dog before I ask, or I don't want to waste these people's time. Sending the email and then getting a response is not a waste of our time. That helps us help you. So reach out to Rosie Fund or whoever is featuring a dog to find out more information. And that may not lead to you adopting that dog, but that may help you narrow your search. That may help you connect with the people who know the dog that fits your needs.
It's like shopping for a house. Mm-hmm. Consider us the realtor of dogs.
Yeah. So Vinny was settling into our home, still had the challenge of the doorway. When someone comes to a doorway, particularly the front door, he barks very loudly. And he really only has one volume and one bark for everything. So the, I want to be your friend, I want to play bark is the same as stranger danger bark.
Yes.
Or I want to go outside bark. And he's gotten better at that. And we've worked with some behaviorists and are applying some strategies that are actually helping to mitigate that issue. But he was also very challenging on the leash. You didn't enjoy walking then, did you?
No, there were a few walks where I would come back in tears because I was taken along for a ride.
He's powerful. He's a powerful 60 pounds.
Yes, and he's got a definite mind of his own, and so walks were not always enjoyable.
And what you highlighted earlier about him being sensitive and hearing and seeing everything, anything new was a distraction. Every other dog was a distraction. Every squirrel was a distraction.
And it's taking me some practice, really keeping my head on a swivel and really looking ahead. Who's ahead of us? Who's behind us, if anyone, to make the walks a little more enjoyable because I'm pre-planning when we're going to have to switch sides of the street or
just maybe turn around.
Yes. But then also he's made some great improvements with some of the tools that we're using to get him more focused and walking beside us. And we're going to continue to work with behaviorist friend Jenny to make him an even better walker and more comfortable at letting us be responsible, letting us be in charge.
And whoever is handling the leash, whether it's us or some other adopter, that's important. So you don't work on a dog's behavior and social skills just so it can be your dog, but just to make them more adoptable. And that's what we were doing.
Yes.
And then it got to the point where we finally realized we're not doing this for someone else. We're doing this for ourselves.
Yes. You know, I really wanted to be a foster success. I think maybe that's why I kind of held out as long as I did. Because we foster failed with Rosie, we foster failed with Peaches, which is a wonderful thing. It's a horrible phrase, foster fail. Because it's such a wonderful thing when
you don't feel like a failure.
No, you don't feel like a failure. You feel like you have won the lottery. But in my mind, I was like, I see all these other fosters in our group that are so good at fostering and then getting them adopted and shedding a few tears and taking a little break. And then they jump back in and they foster another dog. And I guess maybe I was secretly hoping that would happen.
But we made it from October to August. We gave him every opportunity yes. to get adopted.
And then I said to Phil one night, are we waiting for a special day to adopt him?
And what did I say?
Do you just want to adopt him this week?
Make this the special day. So we have adopted Vinny. He has found his forever home. So he is no longer Vinny, even though we call him Vin and Vinny, that is short for his full name, which is?
Vincenzo Diamante Hatterman. Nice Italian, German name.
And we won't go into any of the implications of that other than...
We're just a little obsessed with Italy is part of it.
And we're not going to change the Hatterman.
No.
We're pretty much committed to that too. So... Vinny just seems like a Vin or a Vinny, and to just lean into the Italian of it and go Vinny Diamond, Vincenzo Diamante.
Yes, and he has, the diamond is, he has like little diamond marks on him. There's a little tiny one on his nose, and then some of his white fur is diamond-like. So that's where I came up with that.
And it works. It fits him. But our commitment to being good fosters was not the only reason it took us so long to accept Vinny as our dog.
Right.
When we lost Rosie, we didn't know if we were ever going to volunteer at the shelter again, and we're pretty sure we were never going to adopt again.
Yeah, that was a hard no. It was a very emotional loss. She was our first dog.
And a special dog, and everyone says their dog is special, and everyone is right.
Yes.
But she served several important functions while she was with us for those 88 weeks. Prepared us for some things that we needed to be prepared for, and just made us better people, better dog owners, and better animal welfare advocates.
Yes.
And then we finally realized... we need to go back to KC Pet Project, at least help other dogs find their forever home. And we've told the story of Peaches before. I will link to that in the description for this episode. But we met Peaches, and Rosie was kind of a blind date that worked out.
Yes.
We were contacted without knowing anything about her or meeting her at all by KC Pet Project that this dog needs medical foster. And we all met and fell in love. Peaches picked us. Mm-hmm. She wove her web and lured us in.
With her big sad eyes in the kennel.
And then once she came into our home, never looked sad again. That was just this face she put on. And she had so many faces, most of them pretty commanding, bossy, judgy, scowling faces, but also many happy, delighted expressions, and couldn't have been a better dog. smart, great on the leash, sociable.
Which was a big change from Rosie, because Rosie, she was very social with people and loved kids, but she was not a fan of other dogs. So mm-hmm. we never took her to a dog park. We were very cautious about our routes that we took her.
But Peaches, you could walk her anywhere.
Take her anywhere.
We would go into stores that said no dogs allowed. And especially like at Zona Rosa, where there are staff standing in the open doorway and, oh, who's this? This is Peaches. And then we'd ask, could we come in? Oh, yes, come on in. And then go to big box stores that would say service animals only. And we would say, we'll go in if they kick us out. And then you have staff loving on her. So she was just amazing and spoiled us. Didn't get along with all dogs because she wasn't patient. If they wouldn't cooperate with her, she would snap at them. Got in a couple of dust-ups. I'm not going to say there was never any issue. Mm-hmm. Occasionally would snap at her best friend, Rosa. They would push each other's buttons yes. once in a while. But they were still the golden girls and got on well together. So then when she passed, I don't think we were ever at a point where we thought we wouldn't have another dog, but we were waiting for another Peaches.
Yes. Yes. And losing her, I mean, her health declining took a toll on us.
For 2 months, I did not have more than one or two nights a week where I got to sleep more than an hour or an hour and a half at a time.
Yeah.
Because I had to take her outside, regardless of the weather.
Yeah.
And so I slept on a couch for almost a month before we remembered we had this awesome inflatable bed. It's like, why am I sleeping on the couch in the living room? I mean, it's comfortable, but I could do better. So then we set up a bed in the living room to be next to her, because we didn't want her in the bedroom, because then two people can't sleep. So someone would get to sleep in the bed, and then someone would sleep in the living room next to Peach's bed.
And it was close to outdoor,
mm-hmm, a shorter
back patio.
Yeah. Those were long nights, but I wouldn't trade them because it gave us a few extra months.
Yeah.
And she wasn't thrilled about going out in the middle of the night. But then during the day, she was still the same Peaches.
Yes.
And still got to go to Doga.
We were checking things off the bucket list. We had made her list and made sure that she got to do those things.
So then when quality of life became an issue, we made use of Lap of Love, which we cannot recommend highly yes. enough. Amazing. If you know that the time is coming when you may have to help a pet transition, go to lapoflove.com. I'll link to that in the description. Rosie, in the hospital, there was no other option. That's where she had to be. She was in ICU. Peaches, her health declined to the point where it crossed over to she doesn't have a lot of good days left. Let's not make her go through a bad day. That would be selfish. And so Lap of Love, you make the arrangements well in advance, so when the time comes, you don't have to make the emotional decisions or figure that out in a rush. We'd already figured everything out, made our plans, given them a credit card number that they would only use if necessary. So if she passed on her own or there was an emergency where she went to the vet and passed in a clinic, we don't get charged. But when we saw the opportunity to plan it, we could plan her passing the best way we possibly could, call Lap of Love, and they come out on our schedule and make it a beautiful experience.
Yes, and it was a beautiful day out on our deck where Peaches love to be. Mm-hmm. And it happened to be a very lovely day to be outside. And so our veterinarian that came out from Lap of Love was wonderful.
Yes, she was.
She was super kind, which of course mm-hmm. shouldn't be surprised, but mm-hmm. she made the experience.
Because we could look at our calendar and see Peaches is declining. Let's give her a good day. Let's look at the weather and give her the best day we can. So as you can tell, we were a mess with that. We got through it.
Did some dog sitting.
Dog sitting.
for some friends and family. So that was our summer of transition of having other dogs in the house.
So she passed in April, and then October Vinny comes, and for a long time never thought about, well, he could stay here because he just didn't fit. He doesn't travel well. He doesn't like to ride in cars. Peaches was the greatest traveler.
And so was Rosie.
You could take her anywhere, stay in hotels, stay in other people's homes. They were awesome. They loved being in a car. They didn't want to get out of the car. It's hard to get Vinny into a car.
Yes, he is. So that's something we're working on. I don't know whether that will ever improve or not.
So you need to work him up to that with short, positive experiences, yes, and then slowly lengthen them. So it's like, well, he's just not going to fit in with us.
And being young, he's the youngest dog we've had.
And Rosie Fund is all about helping senior and harder to adopt dogs. And we were focusing too hard on the senior part before, yes, it finally registered. He's definitely in the harder to adopt category, yes, or he wouldn't be going on 2 years of waiting for his forever home. But we adopted Rosie, not really thinking about, well, how's she going to fit our lifestyle, and adjusted to hers.
Yes.
And she made some accommodations for us, and it worked out. Peaches just sort of took over.
Peaches just moved in.
And
we were happy to be her transportation to get her to be wherever she needed
to
be.
We found our forever home.
Yes.
And she took great care of us.
Yes.
And so Vinny, being a little higher maintenance and being harder to introduce to people, and Peaches was a great hostess when you would have a dinner party or an open house.
Yes, yeah, she worked the room.
And would not pester people or get in the way, except for if it was like a small gathering and it was getting late, she would go to bed and then eventually come out and kind of grumble, it's time for everyone to leave, and then go back into her bedroom and go to sleep.
She's very judgmental. Look.
Sleep, but do her little judgmental scowl. And so Vinny's like, well, Vinny's a great dog, but just doesn't fit with us. And then we realized there'll never be another Peaches.
There'll never be another Rosie.
And there'll never be another Vinny. And so since we love him, and he checks a lot of boxes, let's figure out where we stand on the others. Yes.
So the things that check the boxes, he's a very affectionate dog.
And that, I'm going to say, Dawn, was one thing that was a challenge for you with Peaches. You would try to snuggle with Peaches, and she would be annoyed if someone tried to snuggle with her. Occasionally, she would like kind of snuggle up and fall asleep next to you or lay with you on the deck bed or in the hammock. But it wasn't really snuggling. It was just more sharing the space. I guess there's room for you.
Yes.
If you want to sit here. But she would also just get up and move. And she never slept in our bed.
No.
Never got on our bed. Was given many invitations and declined, but she had her own nice bed system, mm-hmm, that we had set up in the bedroom that she could arrange just the way she wanted it and not have to bother with anybody in her space. Vinny loves to sleep in the bed.
He's a bed hog.
The first night that he was with us, he was in and out of the bed because of sprinkler system and noises and stuff. It just drove us nuts. But it was the third night. It settled into, this is where I sleep. I'm going to share this with you. I may lay on top of you. I may kick you, but I want to be here with you. Mm-hmm. And now that he's gotten more comfortable, we have a dog bed on the floor at the foot of the bed. And sometimes he'll move to that, I think, if he gets hot or something. Or maybe we kick him in our sleep the way he kicks us in his sleep. But then we'll also snuggle with you in the big easy chair or on the couch or on the deck sofa or the deck bed. And you realize there's trade-offs. Peaches, it was so wonderful how independent she was, how well she took care of herself, the freedom that it gave us to not have to worry about her, that she's in another part of the house or she's outside by herself while I'm inside working, or someone else is with her that we're away and she's going to stay with them, or you're at the dog park, whether it's Barkay or another dog park, and you just let her go off. And when she's ready to go or you're ready to go, you find each other and leave. Vinny, higher maintenance, yes, but in return, you get that Velcro dog to snuggle with.
Yes. And he's terribly smart and terribly entertaining. If you watch any of the videos, you're going to see how entertaining he is. He's got lots of Vinny moves and hops and grumbles and smart, that I'll be posting the video here shortly of how he knows the difference between Snowball and Thunderball.
Two favorite toys. So look for that video. We'll post that and link it in this episode. Even if the episode posts before the video, we'll go back and add it to the description later on. So we've adopted Vinny. We're still working on getting better at walking and better at handling doorways and really just helping him get socialized and maybe introduce him to other dogs. He has some dogs he likes. He has a dog friend. Fortunately, the one dog neighbor we have that we share a fence with, Lexi, a Yorkie, they like each other. And they'll bark and run back and forth at the fence, wagging their tails, and then stand there and wag their tails and take turns barking. And then Lexi gets bored with that and wanders off. And then eventually Vinny does too. So he can get along because he's not aggressive with her at all.
Right. And really what's kind of sweet about this is that Peaches and Lexi's sister, Izzy, they were the two that ran up and down the fence together. And when Izzy was around, Lexi was just kind of in the background and a very quiet little girl.
And she would just watch Izzy and Peaches bark and run back and forth. Yeah. And when Rosa the dog, not Rosie, but Jesse's dog Rosa, would be here, she would see Peaches barking and say, "Well, I got your back," and run over there and just kind of stand there and bark too. But you could tell she was trying to figure out, what are we doing?
Yes.
What is this? Yes. But it was Izzy and Peach's game, and they would just run back and forth and back and forth.
And then, unfortunately, our neighbor lost Izzy, and so Lexi was by herself.
And Peaches would go and bark, and then Lexi stepped up and became their game.
Yes. And then after Peaches passed, Lexi was very much, "Where is my friend?"
She would come and stand at the fence and walk back and forth on the fence, occasionally bark and look around and wag her tail.
And so then when we brought Vinny home and she met Vinny, she was running up and down the fence barking, and he was just kind of looking at her like, "What?" And so she taught him the Peaches game.
That Izzy had taught Peaches.
Yes. So kind of a nice little full circle there.
So we're looking forward to our future with Vinny and him teaching us and us teaching him and us sharing with you how that goes. The videos that we post of Vinny and other dogs, I've talked about many times on here with other guests who post on social media, who shared the same experience. You can't predict what will get traction, what will go viral. You think, this is the best video we've ever done. This is going to take off. This dog is going to be adopted by the end of the day. And it gets 3 views. And months later, the dog is still there and it's up to 4 views. Whereas other things you post that's like, "Well, that wasn't a great video," or it wasn't even one where we voice over. It's just something that Dawn has shot while she's walking the dog. Thousands of views on YouTube or Instagram. And then also it'll be viral on one and not on the other.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you can't figure out and why this dog is not getting adopted. There'll be dogs that you think, "Boy, that dog gives Peaches a run for her money." And it's been there for months. A challenge that a lot of rescues are having now is intake. I don't know if it's a rebound effect from COVID that so many people got dogs and then their lifestyle changed again and the dog didn't fit. And so they're either just surrendering dogs or turning them loose, or they didn't get their dog spayed or neutered. And so you had more dogs interacting, creating other dogs that then add to the population. When it's a municipal shelter like KC Pet Project, as opposed to most private shelters, KC Pet Project is the animal welfare provider for the city of Kansas City, Missouri. And like other municipalities provider, they can't turn away a dog that's in their municipality. So animal control finds a dog, or somebody just wants to surrender a dog, whether it's highly adoptable or not highly adoptable. A shelter can say that's private, or a rescue group can say, we don't have anything we can do for that dog. We don't think that dog is adoptable, or that dog doesn't meet our criteria. They can turn it away. KC Pet Project has to take every dog, every cat, whatever's being surrendered. So you have all this intake, but the adoption rate does not match. The adoption rate is well below the intake rate. On the rare days that they adopt more dogs than they take in, that is cause for celebration.
Mm-hmm. In the last, yes, the last few weeks, their intake was sometimes between 40 and 80 dogs. And
A day.
And then the adoption rate was 15 or 20, and sometimes less than that. They were at a crisis capacity of over 1,000 animals. That's cats, dogs, and other animals. And that was creating a tremendous strain on the resources, needing more fosters, needing more people to step up and adopt. And that has led to the staff having to make difficult decisions, which is humane euthanasia, which is something.
There are no-kill shelter. There's a percentage of live adoptions. And of course, all the adoptions are live, but a percentage of adoptions that they have to maintain that no-kill status. And they don't euthanize based on, oh, we better stop euthanizing or we're going to lose our no-kill status. The euthanization is based on quality of life. If this pet is not adoptable or is at a risk to other animals or people or has quality of life issues, that this dog is suffering, there's a variety of reasons where the compassionate thing to do is to help that dog pass. The at-risk criteria changes if you don't have anywhere to put those 80 dogs that come in.
Yes.
If every kennel is full and your hallway and meet and greet rooms are full of pop-up kennels and everyone who has volunteered to foster has a dog, you have to take in the new dogs. And if that new dog coming in is immediately assessed as unadoptable, there may be a temporary holding space, but that dog's going to get euthanized. Whereas if there's space, the unadoptable dog gets a second chance to acclimate to the shelter environment and go through some behavioral testing, or maybe get adopted out to a rescue group that takes unadoptable dogs. There are rescue groups that have facilities for this dog will have no interaction with other dogs and will only be handled by people who understand its needs, and it can relax and have the life that it deserves and that fits with it. But if there's nowhere to put that dog while you try to figure that out, it gets euthanized. Yes. This story gets worse. A dog can come in that is adoptable, doesn't get euthanized, but they have to put it somewhere. So now a dog that has been in the shelter a long time has become de facto unadoptable because no one has adopted it. It's been waiting and no one has adopted it. We can't figure out why, but the bottom line is another dog needs its kennel, and then that dog gets euthanized. Vinny would have been one of those dogs.
Yes. Vinny is probably one of the last long timers like super long timers at Casey Pet Project. There are a few other dogs that have been in foster with Casey Pet Project for as long, if not longer, than Vinny. But that's just probably five or six.
But there are no dogs in the shelter because they've had to be euthanized.
Yes. Most of the dogs at the shelter, there might be a couple that were from April or May, but most of them are from June or July.
Long-timer used to mean this dog has been here for a year. Now it's been here for more than a month.
Yes.
That's a long-timer. That's what puts a dog at risk. That is what adds a dog to that list. I want to be clear, this is in no way an indictment of Casey Pet Project, their staff, or any other municipal shelters that are in this situation.
No.
This is an indictment of a society that allows this to happen. If you have a solution, if you see other options for Casey Pet Project, they will listen to you. They do not want to do this. I can't imagine the emotional strain staff and volunteers have to go through every day when a dog that you've walked and fed and loved is euthanized for reasons that have nothing to do with how it interacts with other animals or people or its health, but that this is the only option.
And I've been fortunate enough to connect with some of the volunteers at Pet Project that are helping us identify Rosie Fun dogs. And when I meet with them, we have some very serious conversations about what dogs can we help the most. And
our focus has shifted. Our focus used to be this dog has a very narrow demographic of people who will adopt it, because it is old or it has health challenges. It's a harder to adopt dog for some reason. And by giving it exposure on Rosie Fund and giving it a Rosie Life starter kit, we're going to try to reach that narrow demographic. They may not be finding this dog. We're going to help them find each other, help them connect. Now our focus is on really what are the most adoptable dogs, and not the puppies who they fly out door
or yes,
almost faster before they can even be posted on the website. But those dogs that are 1, 2, 3 years old and really have no strikes against them, who we would not even have considered sponsoring or shooting a video with. Now it's, let's get these dogs exposure, get them out the door so that there's space for the dogs coming in and we don't have to euthanize the dog that's been here a month and a half, which was a real tough pivot for us to make.
Yes.
Because it's hard to wrap your brain around that. It's like, that doesn't make sense. Like, when we're leaving those harder to adopt dogs behind, there's only so much we can do to help them.
Yes. Spending time with the staff and the volunteers, it is gut-wrenching.
Yes.
Because they are doing all they can.
If there's anything you can do to help, money helps, donations help. They're not going to turn away cash or dog food or toys,
which they desperately need when they are overflowing.
Because they supply those things not only for the animals in the shelter, they supply it for fosters.
Yes.
Which was another reason when we realized we're going to adopt, we wanted to do it as quickly as possible so that we could take over paying for Vinny's medical and food and grooming and not leave that to Pet Project once we realized he's our dog, we're responsible for it. So anything you can do to volunteer, take some pressure off those people, allows them to get an emotional break. But more importantly, spread the word that adoptions are needed. People who can adopt, if you've been thinking about a second dog, do a meet and greet and get a second dog. Let's help these dogs. Fostering, if you can foster. If you are a behaviorist, I need to talk to Vinny for a second. Vinny, hey. Yeah, stop that. Good boy. And grunt. Good grunt. Look at me sheepishly. Good boy. Thank you, Vinny. But if you're a dog behaviorist, it's a challenge when dogs who have behavior issues get fostered out so they don't get euthanized, don't have as much access to the behavior team at Pet Project. So if you could volunteer your behaviorist services, that's going to get you some more exposure. But to say, hey, I'll take on a dog or two or three and help them with these basic skills they need and come up with a behavior plan. That's not something I've discussed with KC Pet Project, but that's something I think would help. So offer that. And if you're not in Kansas City, I bet you're probably close to a municipal shelter that has the same needs we've just described for Kansas City. So donations, volunteering, behaviorists, whatever you can do to help.
Yes, and we say this at every episode of Dog Words, but sharing posts is super important. I mean, we can get thousands of views and hundreds and thousands of likes, but if no one steps up to say, I want that dog, how do I get that dog?
It needs to find the right person.
Yes.
And if you're not the right person, sharing it increases likelihood that the right person will see it.
Yes. I have found myself just randomly asking people at work, do you know anyone who needs a dog? And I'm surprised I haven't started doing that at the grocery store. Yeah.
And there's a dog for almost every lifestyle. I guess that the silver lining, if there is one, is that the selection has never been better.
Yes.
There's no excuse for not finding the dog you want. Now, if you have a checklist and you hear grumbles over there that, you know, it has to be this specific breed or color or something, well, maybe. But if it's a personality, just how you connect with that dog, regardless of what their coat looks like or what their build is or whether they meet a breed standard, those superficial things, if you can let them go and just look for who looks into your soul and says, I'm your best friend, you'll find that dog.
Yes. Maybe to end this on somewhat of a more positive note.
That would be wonderful.
Because we did kind of go down the very dark rabbit hole. Because I've been struggling with this the last couple of weeks. Filming dogs has been really hard last couple of weeks. But anyway, on a lighter note, so KC Pet Project, they have listed dogs that are at risk, have a fee waived. They're being very transparent with the public about how they're handling the overcrowding situation that they're encountering.
And I just want to reiterate, at risk has this connotation of this is a risky dog. This is a dangerous dog. There are things that you need to be warned about. At risk just means this dog is at risk of being euthanized. This is a dog that's being evaluated every day and a determination is being made. Do we euthanize this dog? That's what at risk means. It's not a risk to you. All the risk is the dogs. So they have their list of at-risk dogs.
And since they openly posted that on their website and on their social media have been promoting that these fees are waived and they really need fosters and they really need the community to step up, there was a post today showing the number of kennels open at the main campus, and I forget the number, but it was a lot. And so 2 weeks ago, that was not the case. They had no kennels open. And so they are very thankful for the number of people that have stepped up, started adopting, started fostering, because that is making a difference. And so fingers crossed, maybe we can keep this going.
Maybe we reached a tipping point and now we're tipping in the right direction. But let's not assume that. Let's not take for granted that this is behind us. Because our goal isn't to not euthanize any dogs unnecessarily. Our goal is to empty the shelter. So let's keep fostering, adopting, getting dogs in their forever home, Why Dawn?
Because we save each other.
Thank you for being on Dog Words.
Thank you, Phil.